Me, my father was a gang member ever since I was born, so I was gang affiliated since birth. But I also had a mother who was a Christian and in the faith. So for me, growing up, I seen two different lifestyles. I was raised in children churches, but then I would also come home and my house would be a gang pad. What's up, everyone? My name's George, also known as Blessed One. Right now I'm based up in Whangarei, but I was born in Martin. I'm a Cook Island Māori. The Cook Islands, on my father's side, but I'm also Tūwharetoa e Ngāpuhi, and I'm based in Whangarei.
What's up, my name's Georgie, and I'm banging with the Blessed One family. Look, I spent basically all my 20s behind walls, locked down, from 2006 to 2017.
Well, yeah, my hope is that a lot of people would know me as a person who's transformed into a new creation, which is in Christ. And I'm also known as Blessed One. I'm a hip-hop and R&B artist, Christian artist. So I'm known as a musician that goes around the country and spreads the good news through my gift and talent of rapping. Yeah, came from the life of gangs and slanging of drugs. I could tell you how I was down for banging with thugs. Come to mind that I was always caught up with cops. When the block meant enough was never enough. I was touched when I was locked inside of my cell. Touched by the hand of God, this power revealed. Show me things when it came to the gangs. I just knew no doubt. It was over and out. There's a lot going on the production side for myself. I've got a whole team of us, and we work alongside a vision called Rhythm of Life, live band members, other Christian artists, where we're collaborating. But right now, we've got an album that's about to be dropped any minute now. It starts with a producer and his name's Ricky Paul. So he was, this year for Pacific Music Awards, was the top producer of the year. And then we've been working alongside these Usul Bucks. We've also had another brother across the ditch, Al Frisco from the Decepticons. We've got a new up-and-coming artist named Maddie, got an amazing voice, looking forward to sharing her gifts and talent. And we've got our locals like Manu Tai, the Leo Pepes, and amongst that, a whole lot of seasoned musicians that we've been able to bring in and help collaborate and bring the vision to life. So yeah, that's who we've been working with. Music for me. So the only experience I really had when it came to music was just growing up on the streets and freestyling. It was kind of second nature for us. It was as rugged as it gets to just sitting under the street lights, freestyling, rapping, to singing songs, to growing up and kind of, yeah, just that's what we did, that's where it started. And it wasn't until life changed for me, and God really revealed to me that I had a talent that I had been blessed with, but I could now use it for His glory. Brothers in the pen.
So I mean, how long ago did you make that song, and where did the inspiration for that come from?
Oh, I think that might have been 3 to 4 years ago. I won Music of the Month, which my wife sent that song in. And the inspiration was receiving phone calls from a lot of my boys that were still inside prison because of serving over a decade behind prison walls. And then being able to see a change in my journey. The phone calls and connections of them just sharing their heart and asking, how did you do it? Like, what does that even look like? I've tried so many times. And, you know, my answer, all I had for them was like, man, it was God that's changed me, and that was the only hope that I could see for them. So, you know, when I'm saying I'm lifting up my prayers, I'm casting all of my cares, I'm praying for my brothers locked inside the pen, that's literally what I was doing. I was hearing them over phone calls and then going away and just praying for them, because I knew that they needed them. I needed him, because I needed him, and I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for him. Yes, at the moment I'm working as a service from one of the services, and we work alongside youth that have been either uplifted from their family or are struggling to settle in society, and yeah, just a lot of young youth that may have been misled and had rough upbringings, or family just can't be there the way that they can be. So at the moment, that's what I do 24 hours as a carer, and just, you know, being a light for some of these young kids to help guide them for their futures.
Where does your heart for that mahi come from, bro?
Just, you know, to be real with everyone, like, it was hard for me to find any compassion for the youth and just, yeah, people in general, just with my background, it was hard to show love. But, you know, I would say that God's planted this love inside of me to love on people and to be able to have an influence on some of these young people, as I can relate to their upbringings, or I can connect with them because of the way that I have lived. It changes the way that I think and the way that I can operate around them, and it just gives me a sense of opportunity to be able to help them.
So can you sort of talk a little bit about your upbringing? So you said you're originally from Martin, was it?
Yeah, I was born there. But around 3 years old, I was raised in Whangarei, which is up in Northland. My father was a gang member ever since I was born. So I was, you would say the words, gang affiliated since birth. But I also had a mother who was a Christian and in the faith. So for me, growing up, I seen two different lifestyles. I seen a life where I was raised in children churches, but then I would also come home and my house would be a gang pad. So I grew up in what I would consider normal for myself, is a lifestyle of being raised in the faith, but then also seeing a culture of streets and the gang life. And I always just say for me, everything was normal. I may have seen things that other people would be a horror story to them, but for me, it was my normal upbringing. I had all the opportunities of being anything I wanted to be, just like anyone else, playing sports. I was an athlete, all these things. Had good friends around me. Just as I grew older, I ended up following the same footsteps as my father, and I ended up stepping into the gang life and getting caught up in the streets and ended up in prison. Oh, when it started turning for me was 9 years into my sentence. She was my partner at the time. So we went through some very, some very dark challenges, some very hard challenges when my wife had been tortured, kidnapped, and she was hurt very bad that she had bled out, and yeah, it led to her passing away. And here I am sitting inside of my cell at this point of time. I'm a known active gang member, 9 years into my sentence, and I'm in a situation where I felt helpless for the first time, where I just couldn't do anything, you know. I was in a situation where usually you can resolve it, and it's highly likely you're using violence. That was the way to solving your problems or your solutions. That was just the way that you operated. But in this sense, in this situation, my wife's on the outside and, you know, going through some very dark challenges. And like I said, no, she had passed away. And in that moment, my faith came back into play, where I knelt down in my cell and I had nothing else there was nothing else I could do, so I kneeled down and I prayed inside of my cell. And when I was inside my cell, it was like I knew something was behind me. And I remember when I was kneeling down in my cell and I didn't want to look back, there was something there. It wasn't a fear, but it was a peace. And then I just felt like I just picked up this courage and I just quickly swung my head back and looked back. And when I looked back in the corner of my cell, it was like I sensed the vision and I could see my partner at the time, who's now my wife. And I just seen a vision of her and this whole peace came over me. And then I just turned back around and just got to remember I was, you know, my wife had just gone through many challenges and it's quite heavy at me right then, and this whole peace comes over me, and I end up I'm in a form of communicating and in connection with some people where I'm talking to them about what happened, and I just share straight and what I had seen. To cut a long story short, I gave it one more I always said to her, you know, I'll never quit, we'll never give up. But I felt like she had passed on and she was in a better place compared to where she was. But I made sure that we gave one more resuscitation a go. And on that last resuscitation, after like 20 of them, and I was told she'll be cabbage, brain dead, all those things. But I just, you know, carried on the fight that I'd never give up. And this last resuscitation took place and her heart started to beat and a tear come down her eye. Fast forwarding again, that was a miracle on its own. She couldn't communicate. All she was doing is, yeah, just little, that's all I could hear. And in those moments, I started communicating to her and I thought about it. So I said to her, if you can hear me, make a noise. And then she made that same noise. I went, and then I was sitting there and I said, if you can hear me, don't make a noise. And it went silent. Once it went silent, I knew that she could hear me. And I was like, even though she couldn't communicate or anything, that, you know, I just was just praising the Lord with joy because I knew that she could hear me. And I just started talking to her about positive stuff and singing her songs over the phone. And yeah, just it was actually an amazing moment. And then fast forwarding onwards, she came back and she was able to whisper. We're talking hours and hours and hours on my mob all night. And then all I heard is something like, and I heard her whisper, and without even asking if she was okay or anything, I just straight asked her, did you come to me? And when I said that to her, she told me everything that I did inside of my cell. She told the doctors everything that they did and just confirmed to me right off the bat, you know, that Christ had answered my prayers. And ever since that day, my life has never been the same. So I packed up, man, that was me. As an active gang member, when I went back into the units, I just gathered the whole team up without anyone knowing. I locked the cell door, the whole cell was full, and I just told them, boys, I'm leaving the gang life and I've given my heart to God. And ever since then, that's been my life, continuing to walk with the Lord. Yeah, I think I still had about 3 years. My sentence was 12 years, 3 months. I think I was just around about 9 years in. So, yeah, 2.5 years roughly left. And I spent 18 more months inside after I had given my heart to the Lord.
So how was that experience in prison? You know, having been a gang member and now you're walking with the Lord, how was the next 18 months for you?
It's an interesting journey because, man, when God says, like, I won't put you through what you can't handle, man, it's amazing actually how much you can handle. Obviously a shock to the team, and everyone around me that had known me as a, had known my past and what I had represented and what I had walked in, and I did it well, you know. I loved that life. That was, I was built for that at that time. But the transition is one is that was interesting because you have a system that I'm now raised and known in, that only know that side of me, and are now, I'd say it this way, a lot of people use God as an escape route to try and get out of prison quicker, easier, earlier, whatever that looks like. But for me, it was genuine. I had left behind something that for the first time ever broke my heart. To leave the gang life was the first time that I had felt a broken heart. And that was, yeah, I just remember that was pretty tough. But the transition, you know, the system would then test me. They would, they already knew my triggers and that, so you would find them testing things to see if I would react. Yeah, I'll say it was probably one of the hardest things that I may have been through that the last 18 months, and I don't mean the sentence, I mean the changes that had to take place. I would find myself consistently having to go back into my cell, pray and read. I would find myself, it's almost like a picture of like demons inside of your head where you want to go do things but you know you can't, so you're trying to resist this type of action or behavior, and the only way you know how now is like you've got to pray. And I found myself literally opening up my cell door, walking out where I'll go down and pick up my my morning breakfast, and I literally had to, I couldn't even listen to any of the music around me. So this is what took place, is once I'd given my heart to the Lord and I had about a couple of days in, I found myself unable to listen to any of the gangster rap, any of the music. It was just hurting my ears. And I would run down to get my breakfast, and I would run straight into my cell, close the door, and then I'd have to just sit in there because for some reason I could no longer listen to all this music that I had listened to my whole life. And once again, I'd just find myself trying to read the Bible. I went from barely reading books to from right from the beginning to the end of reading the whole Bible. I couldn't put it down. 6 hours a day, praying just for, just, I didn't even know how many hours. I was just praying just nonstop, like fully God had just taken over. But in those things, you know, there were other challenges that took place. My wife still had to deal with her when she did come right. You know, she had a lot of blacking out. She had a lot of bleeding. She had a lot of challenges that we were dealing with, where she would, that me and her had to work alongside one another. At the same time, this was real right at the beginning. My mother had a blood clot in her brain. My father had just entered into the same prison I was in for murder, and then the system itself was constantly pressuring me, trying to trigger me. Just found them trying to trigger me to see if this was real or whatever it was. I had all these challenges all at the one time, and, you know, man, I just really needed God at that stage. As you can imagine, there's my dad, here's my mum about to pass away, my wife's just had her challenges. And when it comes to my dad, my father, who's there was tension with other gangs, so there's all this tension and me having to try and resist not being involved some way, somehow. And yeah, it was such a hard thing to do. But and to be honest, if I was honest with you, I don't think I would ever be able to have resisted or stayed calm and continued on my journey if I didn't have God in my life at that point. I guess the blessing in disguise is, for me, as I wasn't able to, as much as I wanted to go home, I had barriers that were put in place where I wasn't allowed over the harbour bridge, which kept me at a distance from being surrounded by people that I may not have been able to resist some of the challenges that I would face or the temptations. So I had my partner now, who's now my wife. We had prepared the best that we can, because when I was inside, and when I was inside, I finally allowed people to come and help me. And in that area, which was a hard thing, is to allow people to come in and help. I was able to learn how to make up plans, immediate goals, short-term goals, long-term goals. And before I got out, I set all those things up. And they were actually a huge key for me being successful and being able to stay on track. My wife was there to help me. And family got around me, and I just kept surrounded by people that would, be positive for my life and my changes. So for me, when I got out, man, all I wanted to do is go to church. I used to sit there in the morning at about 6 a.m., and I used to watch Creflo Dollar and other people that are on the shows in there, and I seen people, in worship and lifting up their hands and praising God, and I just, for me, and I just used the word, I just thought that was the most gangsterous thing that I could do. And then it's exactly what I did. First Sunday I got out, I found a church and I went to church, and it was Elam West in Auckland. And just went there, man, and lived the dream. There was a dream for me to just stand there in the presence with everyone and worshiping God. Oh, man, mine was just all in the hood, eh? Just me and the boys, we just jammed, and that's about as far as that went. Everyone around me were amazing singers, I'm just one of an army that where I come from. There's so much talent, there's so much beautiful and powerful voices, so much skill all there. And yeah, I guess could bring in kapa haka in primary school and stuff like that, but I've never been a person that would ever sing in front of people besides the people that I would have grown up with. So that just singing alone out there now in the open, like I said, God revealed to me that I had a gift and that I could use it, and that's what I'm using it for. I would just more say that things are still the same, but my perspective and where I stand has changed. There was a saying, when I went home, man, I didn't realize how beautiful my surroundings and my upbringing was, because I was so living in the gutter and in the underground world that I just couldn't even see all the beauty around me. So for me, it's more the changes that I've made has separated me from the changes that I've made have just given me a different view and a different walk in life. There's a lot of people that I know that are still living the same life, and they're still stuck in the cycle, going back and forth into prison, still highly connected with the gang life and all that. And, that's their choice, but I've made a choice. And, I just say my head's above water and I'm on another journey. And it'll be, my hope is that that they can get things right in their lives. It's always to become more like Christ. The future is that, that I would know him more, that I would be able to do the Father's will and live from a place where he can bring life through me and I can speak the truth into other people's, that they can be drawn to Christ. That's the ultimate goal, that I would become more like Christ and reflect him everywhere I go. Yeah, well, the first thing that's just come to me just then is the fear of man. A lot of people want to make changes, but they're so afraid of what other people are going to think of them that they don't realize, but they fear what man will think about them, and that can be a huge barrier that people may never overcome because of the fear of what other people think about them. So my encouragement is to, you know, just, it says in the Bible, the beginning of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and just weighing up, you know, the fear of God and the fear of man, you know, and just asking God, man, help me to overcome this fear of what other people may think about me that's stopping me from making the step of faith, it coming into to changes and breaking down their walls. There's also something else that's spoken of, and Jesus talks about there's no greater gift than for one to lay down his life for his friends. And in the street life, I just know that a lot of people lay down their lives. They make sacrifices and willing to go to prison. They lay down their lives for their brothers. They're willing to kill. They're willing to die, you know, but the deception in all of that, because I was one of them who lived and believed and wanted to go out that way, the self-deception in all of that is that we can do that, but for the wrong cause. We can live that way, but at the end of the day, you know, we're all going to meet our Maker, and it's Him, the one that we want to please, and not just our brothers here. And this is a message of love. This is a message of truth, that when we do pass, man, those our colors and our brothers, they don't come with us. Get yourself surrounded by positive people, positive role models. They may not look like the people that you're used to being surrounded by, but it's the intent and motive that you want to look out for, someone whose intentions are actually to see you pursue change, because a lot of people want to change but find it hard to pursue change. So if you're a person like that, get yourself surrounded. You may even have to change your environment. You may be trying to make these changes in a toxic area where temptation comes knocking at your door daily. If you can, I'd encourage you, man, to reposition yourself, just to get yourself in a space where you can actually get clear-headed and focus on making better choices. And when it's time and you're strong enough, man, you can make your way back. And then now you can be of value and of help to those also that are living or struggling with the same challenges that you may once have. So it's Blessed One, and that's spelled B-L-S-D-O-N-E. That stands for, gotta know this, is blessed, loved, saved, delivered, and the one means one in Christ. And keep an eye out, album should be dropping soon.